I think I'm going to mow grass next week. But, yay. Well, welcome to Sunday School. I'm stuck on Timothy. The Lord keeps leading me to finish that. So I moved on to 2 Timothy today. And reading some commentaries and things. This is Paul's last letter before he was martyred. So it's interesting what he said to Timothy and how the world was then and how it is today. You know, we look at what's going on today in our governments and things around the world, how crazy it is. It's just crazy. And can't make a lot of sense out of some of it. But the same thing was going on there. It was, I think, 66 AD was the date. And in 70, Rome destroyed Jerusalem. Tore it down just like the Lord said it would happen. Took every stone down. And that happened in 4 years after this. So persecution of the Christians was going on, and the Jews was going on then. As it is today, we see how ugly some people are today in some of these higher education institutions have treated the Jews so poorly. And it's hard for us to think that in this time in our lives, but it's still out there. And that's all going to play out just exactly the way the Lord wants it to here in end times. So anyway, come on, I'll get to talking and just keep going.
Well, good morning, everybody. Well, we got a shock this morning, not just the time change, but wind, cold wind. So wasn't kind of ready for that, but it's here. And we'll take it, and the Lord's good. So let's look at just a few items here. The bulletin's got a lot of information in it today of upcoming things, and so I would encourage you to read the bulletin today and see what's coming in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So today I'd like to just kind of remind you we're going to have Henry Benick with us today. He's with the Jewish End Time Missions, and he's been doing that for quite a while, him and his wife. And so tonight he's going to speak to us and tell us some things that are going on with the nation Israel. He's going to tell us some things that are going on there that maybe we're not going to hear through the news media. So if you could be back tonight, that would be good. Also, after the morning, after the evening service, we will have a Sunday school meeting, and that will be for all people that has anything to do in Sunday school. That will be at 7:30 after the evening service. On Thursday, March 14th, the Oasis trip to the Everlasting Nation Museum. If you're planning on going on that trip, that will be Thursday morning, and they are leaving, let's see here, pretty early in the morning, about 6 o'clock, I believe, so. Also, Saturday, March the 16th, men's prayer meeting in the Berean classroom at 7 a.m. And then after that, at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a spring cleanup, fresh up. So if you've not signed up for that or you think you can be here, that would be a good thing to be involved in, just kind of spruce up the church for the spring season. So Also that afternoon from 1 to 3 will be the quilting circle in the Family Life Center. So these things are coming this week. And then in the bulletin, we have a lot of things that are coming. For some of you who knew Anna Spinard, next Sunday, they will be honoring her in the 11 a.m. service. So Annis was a wonderful lady. If you knew her, you knew she was all about the Lord and just a joyous person to be around. And also that day, there will be a newcomer's lunch after the 11 a.m. service. And so we'll be looking forward to that. We do have a lot of newcomers to our church, and we want to welcome them. Also on next Sunday, there will be an adult Brazil mission trip meeting after the PM service in the Berean classroom. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I could stand here for 10 minutes reading this, but it's in your bulletin, and I do hope that you'll look at it. This morning, as we look at our sick, we know that we still have our people that are fighting the cancer issue and dealing with that. Debbie Deacons, Sharon Harmon, Judy Whitson, Lynn Anderson, Harold Baskett's sister, Judy Martin's sister. And we want to keep these people lifted up in prayer. Also today, we're praying for the health reasons, Francis Lawson, Ron and Wanda Huskins, Charlotte Bryant, Pat Shaw, Randy and Pat Scalf, and Jerry Scalf. Now, I know that probably there's some other people that are sick, and I may not know about that, but does anybody have a request this morning that you would like to give to us? Maybe an unspoken? Okay. Yes. Okay, Lisa Bennett's brother is going to have open heart on Friday. So let's remember him when he's going through this. Pray that God will bring him through. Okay? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll give Steve all the time we can here. I know the Lord has laid on his heart what he wants him to say, and let's just pray for this service and the 11 o'clock service, and we'll let Steve go. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, for the blessings that you've given to us, Lord. And Father, like Brother Baskett and I was talking this morning, we don't know why that you bless us like you do, or that you provide for us like you do, Lord. But thank God that you are God and you are watching over us. Lord, you're taking care of us. And Lord, I just pray that for these that we've mentioned this morning that has cancer, Lord, other issues that have got them locked in, and Father, they couldn't be here with us. We pray for them. We pray you'll meet their health needs, Lord, and Father, that you'll raise them up again. Lord, we thank you for Mr. Bennett that's going to be here tonight. Lord, for him and his wife and all of the years of service they have given. And Lord, how you bless their ministry. And Father, we pray that you'll give him the word that he would tell us tonight, Lord, that you want us to know. Father, just bless this place. Bless this Sunday school this morning. May you bless the folks that are here listening. Thank you again. Bless the 11 o'clock service, Lord. We pray that you'll do something. God, we'll pray that you'll do something special in our services this morning. And God, we know, Lord, that we can do nothing without you. And God, we just pray for your leadership and God, your will to be done here today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. You said you was going to let me go, so I'm going to go. So I moved on to 2 Timothy, trying to finish up what Paul was telling Timothy. And Timothy here in chapter 4 was hearing from Paul for the last time. This was his last letter, and from before he got martyred. And this is a year later, after the first lesson I taught 2 weeks ago, then I kind of went backwards 7 years and picked up where Paul met Timothy. Now this is 8 years forward into Timothy's ministry. And Paul's talking about the world at that time and what was going to happen. Paul had been seeing the same thing. Of course, he was traveling around his mission trips, his second and third missions trips since then, and had been seeing what was going on in the world. And as we see it today, the animosity against the Jewish people. And those people are not just angry at Jews. If you look at some of those people, they're angry at the world around them. And a lot of those folks have tried so-called religion, maybe had been in church, and it just, they couldn't get comfortable because of their lifestyle. And they moved away from a religion in a whole way. We know people that just says, I don't want to be part of any church. I've got a friend of mine that is a Mason that built my chimney. Great guy. Witnessed to him. Saved. Know he's saved. But he won't go to church. He believes that he can lead his family at home without fellowshipping in church. And I never could get to the bottom of that, why he would not come. I tried my best to get him to come to this church. Great guy. And he just wouldn't do it. Something had happened in his life and he wouldn't go but so far. So some people just get turned off at church. They don't want nothing to do with the people. A lot of times they see so-called Christians doing things and they use that as an excuse. Well, so-and-so did this. And I saw so-and-so do that. And this is the way he is at the office. So I don't have nothing to do with it. So these people become apostates, is what Paul calls them, which means they completely remove themselves from any religious activity. And then a lot of them they get a chip on their shoulder, as we can say, and they really get at adversaries when you even try to talk to them. And that's the kind of people we don't want to knock on a door, and they come to the door and say, I don't want anything to do with what you're saying or giving, don't want it. And we run into people like that from time to time in this world. Well, Paul is saying the same thing. And we look in the old Scofield here in the notes that he made there at the beginning of 2 Timothy. He breaks this 2 Timothy down in this way. Of course, the first part here in chapter 1 is the greeting. And then the second part, in chapter 2 talks about a pathway for an approved servant in the day of apostasy. An approved servant in a day of apostasy. Somebody that believes the word, tries to live the word, tries to be involved in church in whatever way they can. And then in chapter 3 it talks about the apostasy and the word apostate and the word. They don't even want to believe God's word. They rejected it, totally reject it. Totally reject the Bible as it is. And then we can see in today's world we have all these versions that lighten up on and remove some verses in the Bible. And some folks want to say, well, how about this version or that version? You know, don't get in a discussion about versions with somebody. The basic doctrine is what we want to talk about to those folks. And most of them can't argue the doctrine, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all those other things, they want to major on the minors and this and that and the other. Well, they can go off and do that, but if you keep pulling people back to the main doctrine, they can't really argue with that. And then in chapter 4 of this 2 Timothy, a faithful servant and his faithful Lord. As we are faithful servants, now I'm calling us servants, but we're talking about saved people, active in church, talking about you all and me. We're faithful servants of the Lord. Being faithful and the faithfulness of the Lord, how faithful He is to us. We are provided for in many, many ways. Things can get tight, and sometimes it is tight on fixed incomes. It is. I'm there. Pam and I are there on fixed income. But we get by. We ain't missed a meal. And haven't paid our bills. We go on. The Lord provides. He takes care of us in that way, in other ways, in our health ways, and on and on and on. So if we start, then I just kind of took this chapter and looked at what Paul was trying to tell Timothy. So we're starting, I'm going to bounce around a little bit. And I titled this lesson, "For the Time Will Come." And that comes from 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come. Has the time come? He's saying the time's going to come and this is going to happen to you, Timothy. Looking at Timothy's ministry and remember, he's been teaching Timothy all along the way here. Timothy saw how Paul did it, took how he did it, and Paul sanctioned him, appointed him a preacher in that part of the world, and he's been doing it, and Paul's been writing him letters, treat these people that way and do this and do that. Well, now he's a faithful servant and doing his best. And he says, for the time will come. Well, what kind of time is that? So if we look at 2 Timothy 3:1, and the apostasy of the world at this time, but just listen how this lines up with what we deal with today. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, we hear every preacher everywhere say, folks, I believe it's in the last days. And I think most of us can believe that. I can from studying the from the Old Testament prophecies to Revelations to the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, and on, God has pointed to the last days. He said it's going to happen. It is going to happen. If you believe God's word, it's going to happen. When? He didn't tell us. He told us to go on, be faithful, teach and preach the word until I come. So here's Paul telling him, he says, this I also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. And then verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You run, has any of those hit anybody here that's run up against somebody like that? Without natural affection, my, what a mess we have. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despite, we see that a lot in the teenagers. Gavin is Pam's son. He's 16 and he deals with that. Gavin's a good old, big old boy. He's huge. He's just a gentle giant. But he deals with kids that make fun of being a good guy. You're a big guy. You could just take them out. You could really take care of business. What's wrong with you? And on it goes. Well, we're doing this. You need to come and join us and let's do it together. And that goes on in our age, you know. As being in business, you go to meetings. Well, come on in. We're having fun here. Sit down and have some drinks with us and this and that. No, and there was the day come that I had to say that's not part of my life anymore. Or never was. And eventually they leave you alone. And eventually you don't get invited to those outings. But that's the world that we live in today. As it was then, he's telling Timothy, watch out, this is coming. But then we go to chapter 2 here, or chapter 4. In verse 3, where I get the title, and he's talking to a faithful servant here. He's talking to you and I, faithful servants. So chapter 4, verse 3 says, for the time will come, that's where I got the title of this lesson, when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want to hear it. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to go to a church where they hear what they want to hear. They want to hear music that is worldly, it leans itself toward worldly. Let's say it that way. All my kids has been either homeschooled or educated in a Christian school, all my grandchildren. And as we go to activities, not only here but in Knoxville over the past years, all these homeschool kids would come and then they would go do some function at the end of the year or something like that. And you go to another church, and the front platform looks like a rock band has set up the whole thing. And that's what some people want. They want to be entertained. They don't want to hear that they're sinners and they need to be saved by grace. They want to be entertained. That's what it's talking about. They have itching ears. They don't want to hear the word. They want to hear the music, or they want to hear the praising and the emotionalism and the feel-goodness. Everybody can get to the Lord in their own way. Jesus loves everybody. Well, he does. They don't want to get to the bottom, the truth of the whole thing. They have itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables, to stories. I mean, you hear some of these guys talk, supposed to be preaching the word. You can get online and hear it just easy. Well, good morning. Isn't it a lovely day? And on they go, and they talk about this and they talk about that. Do they ever preach anything? Glad to see you here today. Let's praise the Lord some. I'm sorry. I may be stepping on somebody's toes, but that is not preaching the doctrine. That is not preaching what God's Word says. God's Word says, preach and teach people how to love the Lord and serve the Lord and first teach them how to get saved. But they got itching ears. They don't want to hear it. Timothy, you need to get ready, because this is going to happen. But watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Endure afflictions. Endure it. We're not going to go out of here and tell people, you go down there, No, you're not going to do that. You're going to endure it, and you're going to do it in the right way, because he goes on to say it here. Do the work of an evangelist. What's that mean? Evangelize these people. Try to tell them the truth, that God loves you and you have to trust what he did on the cross to be saved. If they've got itching ears and they don't want to hear that, they're going to walk away. I don't want to hear that. You're going to get that. But then you may get one that says, what are you talking about? You'd be surprised at the people we live in the Bible Belt, but there's still people here that have never heard the basic truth of the gospel. They've heard all this other and all this music and all this beautiful praising, but they've never got down to the point to where they personally understand that Jesus shed his blood for them. How are they ever going to understand that if we don't tell them? You know, I just want to be a basic servant of the Lord. You know, and you have somebody come up to your table, how you doing? Doing good today. And I don't do it enough. Or you say, well, here's a track. By the way, you go to church anywhere? And start a conversation. Do the work of an evangelist. Is what he's saying. No, don't worry about all this stuff going on in the world. It's there. We have it. We have it today. But Paul says, look here, just do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry, which is seeing people brought to the Lord. In 2 Timothy, the key verse, 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Be gentle. Folks, we don't need to be, now, buddy, let me tell you something. You're just going to the wrong place. You need to get saved. You're living the wrong kind. Look what you're doing. People ain't going to listen to that. We need to be gentle. We need to use our noggins. Be nice to people. Nice to people that you feel like they're not nice to you or wouldn't be nice to you. You never know. One kind word. Some of these people live in a family situation where they've never had a kind word. Nobody's ever told them that they love them. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Because all of us come from a family that we've been loved and nurtured, brought to church. There's people out there like that. And they're apostates. They don't want anything to do with religion. Gentle to all men, apt to teach, apt to teach. That's a key verse right here in the middle of all this. Then we look in chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Jesus Christ. The grace of God that passes all understanding, the power that we get through the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit was a new thing at this point. The Jews that got saved couldn't understand it. But when they really got it, they got it. And these people were dying for what they believed. The Gentiles and the Jews that got saved in those days. Sometimes we don't understand how the world was at that time. But I think we can start to get an inkling of it and seeing the world that we have today. Be strong in grace that is in Jesus Christ. Folks, we can't do anything without the help of Christ. We can't do anything. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves saved. We can't witness to anybody. We can't be kind to people that don't deserve kind without Christ in our life. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. To faithful men and women that can teach others also. I look back here across this crowd, most of us have either been in the MUS ministry, been a helper in a Sunday school class, have taught a Sunday school class, have done something for the Lord. Because the love of Christ constrains us to be that kind of person, to be able to teach others also. Can you teach others also? Can you meet somebody at a gas station or a gas pump or a restaurant and be able to tell them how to get saved just without even looking at a Bible? Oh, have one in the car or in your pocket, because you never know when somebody's going to say, yeah, can you show me that in God's Word? You need to have a Bible in your car, two maybe. I got to looking for my little New Testaments one day and I found them all in my car. Had them all piled up down in there. Dug around, found, well, there's three of them. No wonder I couldn't find any of them. Lord, the Lord will help us and guide us. And that's what Paul's telling him here. through grace. This word grace means it was either Greek or Hebrew. I looked it up and it meant saving and keeping. Be strong in the saving and keeping that is in Jesus Christ. Saving and keeping. Christ, God does it all. Do we need leadership today in our church? Does this church need leadership? Of course we do. This church is growing right now. I mean, we're talking about getting some other rooms ready, doing this or doing that, split up and get some more Sunday school classes. But do we have enough teachers to go around? Verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It's going to get hard. Leadership, it's going to get hard. We need to endure hardness. Endure it. Buck up. Christ, help me to get through this. God, help me to teach this class. I just talk. But I ask God every time I prepare these lessons, I say, God, I need your help to say what you want me to say. Sometimes I don't know what I said. God uses my lips, I guess. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm just, as I've told you before, I'm just an old Creek boy from a little old coal town in West Virginia. Then Paul says, consider what I say. He said, think about this now. Consider what I say there in 2:7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things that I've been telling you. Now listen up. That's the Creek version. Listen up, Timothy. God's going to give you understanding in all this that I've been telling you. It's coming your way now, Timothy. You better get ready. Consider these things that I've been telling you. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Here he is in prison, chained up, writing a letter inspired by the Holy Spirit to Timothy. And now we have that letter today. You think about that. We have God's word from that man tied up in prison, bound up in a pit. Wrote this letter and it became canon in the Bible. Now, if that's not God, I don't know what else is. A letter to a faithful man that was trying to do the right thing. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. I suffer trouble, he said. Here bound up. But you can't bind up God's word. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Paul preaching from prison. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Shortly after this letter, he loses his head because of his beliefs. very shortly after this. This is his last letter, last words from Paul. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I mean, we get saved, we can doubt and come back and say, God, I'm sorry. And we're still saved. Because God's grace saves us, not us. We don't have it in us. And then there in 3:16 it says, know the Bible. I wrote it out in big letters. Know the Bible. Know the Bible. Read it. Don't just read it to get through it. Read it to understand it. Read it sentence by sentence, word by word. Well, now what's he saying here? Ask those questions and get your commentary. Alliterate it. Get it in Greek or Jew or whatever. And look at what the root word means. What is God saying here to me? I mean, you ever dig that deep? We got to dig deep if you're going to get it. I don't want to be a birdbath Christian, as Preacher Lashley's always said. When I first heard that in 1999, when I come down here, I think I've heard that from him, that just hit me. Don't be a birdbath. I laughed about it, but when you start thinking about it, it's the truth. We have so many people out in this world that are just so shallow in the knowledge of what the Word says. Not only shallow in what all it says, but shallow in the depth of His death, burial, and resurrection, what it means into the future. I've done gone over. I'm going to stop. So he says, I charge thee therefore. There in the last, in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And doctrine. There you go. And that's all Paul had to say. Basically. Teach the word. Preach the word. In season, out of season. When it's not, when people don't want to hear it. When people want to hear it. And on and on and on. A letter written in a prison, given to a faithful man, and now we have it speaking to us as loud as it can speak. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for what this letter says from Paul, how you inspired it, how we have it today in God's preserved word. God, thank you for that. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Lord, we could just go on and on and on thanking you. Thank you, thank you, Jesus, for who you are to us. Help us to go forward preaching the gospel every chance we get. Lord, it's blessed this morning, and bless the pastor as he preaches. Lord, we see someone saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.